Righteousness art thou, O Lord, when I plea with thee. So this is a continuation, by the way. Chapter 12 just continues with the thought. Righteousness art thou, O Lord, when I plea with thee. Let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Whereof are all they happy that deal treacherously? And I suppose all of us have asked the same question to God. Why is it that people that are so mean and ornery and no good will seem like they just prosper and they don't have any troubles and everything just goes fine? But we don't always know people's troubles. And the reason that they hadn't gone into Babylonia's captivity yet was simply the mercies of God. Let's see who read. I keep forgetting who reads. Roberta, you read last? Psalms 37:1. And I believe, no, it's, well, we will read that one too. But Psalms 73, Nancy, 73:3. And he says, I envied the, well, you better read it. I can't remember. Read that in Psalms 37:1.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity.
Yeah, don't be envious of those. It might seem like they're prospering, but we got something better than they do. Then in 73, that's what I had in mind, 73:3.
For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
Read some more verses there.
For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued with like other men. Therefore pride compasses them with about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment.
And he wondered about them. And I think it's verse 12 in there. It says, until I went into the house of the Lord, or went to the temple of the Lord. I forget how it's phrased in there. Is it verse 12? Understood. If you want to understand why the wicked prosper, spend some time in the sanctuary of God. Thou hast planted them. These are the ones that's going to perish. Thou hast planted them. Yea, thou hast not. They have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art nearer in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, O Lord, you know me. Well, he knew them too. He knew what they were. They knew what was in their heart and in their mouth. And there's other verses. You might write these down and study them later. Isaiah 29:13 and Matthew 15:8. They all, both are fitting in there. But thou, O Lord, you know me. Now this is a comparative. You know them, you know me. Thou hast seen me, you've tried my heart toward thee. And the thought here is, I'm not like them. You know what I am. It's a comparative thought in there. And because they are what they are, pull them out like sheep for the slaughter. They wanted to pull me out like sheep for the slaughter. You do the same thing to them, the thought. And prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? For the wickedness of them that dwell therein, the beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. That God doesn't really know what's going on. He doesn't know what's going to happen. And so, all of these things, the thought here that it's all going to be destroyed, it'll all be gone. And so, then in the next verse, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst they contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they weary thee, then how will they do in the swelling of Jordan? Now, again, we have a comparative. This is kind of a proverb in here, that if you can't keep up with the slow, then how are you going to keep up with the fast? See, if you can't endure the men of Anathoth, then how are you going to keep up with the men of Jerusalem? They're going to be 10 times harder on you. They'll try to kill you even much more than and they And so it's going to be, it's, so the whole verse there is a thing, the fact that things just get worse. They're not going to get any better, God's telling Jeremiah. And we look at this too, and we see how bad things can be. And what we're seeing is a footman, and what is yet to come is the horses. You know, it's going to get much worse. It's going to be faster. It's going to be, for even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously. It's right all at home. It's such where it's going to start. And they called a multitude after thee. They'll have fair words and fair speeches. Kind of reminds me of the false prophet in the 13th chapter of Revelation. And this is the way the enemy will do the remnant too. This is Satan's first try on people, is with nice words. He can't catch you with nice words, but he catches them other way. For I have forsaken mine house and left mine host heritage, and have given the dearly beloved of my soul unto the hand of her enemies. How people, you know, people don't think that God is emotional, but notice he calls it my house and my heritage and my dearly beloved. From my very deep feeling, my soul way down deep inside, and he give it to the hand of the enemy. This house, no doubt, speaks of the temple. In verse 8, my heritage, again, is in me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore I hate it. It hasn't, it is contrary to the things of God. Then he brings his heritage again in verse 9. Is unto me as a speckled bird. The bird round about are against her. Come, ye, assemble all the beasts of the field. Come and devour. This is my heritage. Is unto me as a speckled bird. Now, the word bird here comes from a Hebrew word that means to swoop. And it has to do with a hawk or a bird that would swoop down upon its prey, an eagle, a vulture of some kind. That would, the word also has a thought of claws. So the thought of being able to pick up its prey. And so the word speckle has to do too of changing the colors. It has to do with, used for dipping clothes in dye and changing the color. Just the fact that this bird is different than other birds. And so he says the birds about around about are against her. Now when he talks about his heritage as a speckled bird, he's just simply saying that Judah should be different than all the other birds. There should never be a bird like her. And there's lots of birds round about that hate her and would come and destroy her. They're called all the beasts of the field come to devour. Verse 10, many pastors or leaders of these have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden down my portion underfoot, and they have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Notice the they's here, all referring to these pastors, the leaders. In verse 12, they're called spoilers. In verse 13, they're called evil neighbors. And they're going to come. He says, spoil his vineyard. Israel is called a vineyard in Isaiah 5, isn't it? Called a vineyard. And so they come to trodden down. You notice that he says, they are made my pleasant portion, a desolate wilderness. And how God deserves pleasure in his people, especially his vineyard that he planted. And so all of these things are going to happen upon them. The spoilers are come from upon all the high places, the wilderness, verse 12, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from the one end of the land even to the other. Now this God calls the sword of Babylon his sword. And they're going to come down. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of their revenue because of the fierce anger of the Lord. And all they'd have to do is turn to the Lord. Thus saith the Lord against all my evil neighbors that touches the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out out the houses of Judah from among them. So God is going to deliver one of these days when in his good time. He delivered once before and they went right back into the same condition. But when he delivers again, it's going to be a permanent thing. It shall come to pass after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them. One thing about it, God's anger don't last forever, does it? And he says, I'm going to have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. Now, when they were in Babylon, it seemed absolutely impossible for this to happen. But overnight, things changed, didn't they? And God, and we studied this in Daniel, how God cut off the Babylonish Empire and brought in the Persian Empire. Right away, Ahasuerus and Darius came on the scene and began to change things. How fast God can change things. We might look at the world today and think that these things are a long ways off, but God is able to do a quick work and have his people ready for his heritage, to bring them into the land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name. Now, that before they learn, well, it goes on. Let's go ahead and read it. The Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. Now, they had taught their children to swear by Baal. To say that Baal is the one that helps us. Baal is the one. And the sun god causes the sun to shine on our harvest. The wind god causes the wind to blow. And the rain god causes the rain to come. And they was giving glory to every one of these gods, which were numerous gods, instead of giving it to the one and only God. And so when they come to the place that they will diligently learn the ways of God, then they'll be able to teach these ways to the heathen, won't they? They'll be able to show the heathen the way of this wonderful Lord that's alive and is not Baal anymore. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. So eventually all nations will come into the blessings of Israel.